Thank you. Praise God. Good to see you, church. And I'm so happy to be here. And the praise and worship was really a blessing. Hallelujah. I appreciate it. And I sent some photos just to tell you kind of what I've been doing for ministry. I worked on Wall Street for my career. When I went to New York, I got fired from all these good jobs. I went to Princeton University. I worked in the New York Stock Exchange, fired, 3 months. I worked in a gold trading company, fired after 3 months. And I got fired from Goodyear Tire. And so I got born again. And that totally changed things. I mean, I never lost another job. And God just blessed me because, you know, I wasn't a nice guy. I had problems. And that totally changed. And I was walking around New York City, and I'm going, you know, I always used to get ripped off. People wouldn't give me the right change. All kinds of things would go wrong. And I'm born again now, and I'm going, I think all those people are still in New York City somewhere. But I'm not meeting them because... You know, God just comes into your life. It says the angels of the Lord encamp around them that fear him and deliver them. Do you fear the Lord? God's angels are all around you. Hallelujah. So we have crusades in Haiti. I'm an evangelist in all these dots. At this scale, there's about 65 of them. Some of them are sitting on top of other ones. But this is everywhere we've had a crusade in Haiti since 2005, I think. And let's look at the next picture. And these 24 missionaries, we give them a little assistance, and they go out and preach the gospel in the mountains. And, you know, some of them walk 4 or 5 hours. And... just to get to where they preach. And they have so many testimonies. It's like the book of Acts. I've had two of them give testimonies that they raised people from the dead. Do you have another picture? So this is a crowd of about 30,000 in Lake Kai. And we're going to go back there in March. Sometimes we get a good crowd when we have a crusade. You got another picture? This is the crusade team, and that's my Haitian partner in the suit on the standing in the front on the right. And the light's not perfect because it was taken at night. But, yeah, so these are all the people it takes to put on a mass crusade. So we have a stage, we have sound system, we got musicians, we got singers, ushers, altar workers, intercessory prayer warriors, truck drivers, electricians. We got our own electricity, lighting, translators, cooks. It's a big thing. And we have one every other month. At one of the events, Pastor Eddie, that's my partner, he said, how many people are called into the ministry? They feel God has called them. So these are all the people on the team that said God had called them into the ministry. So it's not just a crusade that we have. You know, these missionaries, these people on the team, you know, they're growing up as ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. You have another picture? This is about 20,000 people in St. Mark. And that crusade... my partner said, if St. Paul was here, he would stay 3 months. So we extended the crusade. Normally we preach 8 days, Sunday to Sunday, but this was 15 days. We just made it another week long. And next one. So this is what the stage looks like with a praise and worship team. And those chairs are for like pastors and stuff like that. Next picture. Was there a little video? Okay, so this is a little 12-second video. Well, I'll keep talking. So when you get it, just put it up. Maybe you need to download it to your PC first, so it'll have it in memory before you try and play. So I really appreciate the word about decree that this sister shared. I think I heard her name is Debbie. Because, like, it's just the Holy Ghost preloading my message. So, would you hold the mic for me?
I'm going to sing a song. Do you have the words to that song on a slide?
Oh, no, I didn't put it on there. I didn't
that's okay.
I'm sorry.
So this is a song, you know, you probably heard it. It's kind of a Broadway standard.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a Muslim tree, but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as lonely as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe, if you believe, if you believe in me. Hallelujah. So how is that related to Jesus? How is that related to God? Now, think about actors, right? I think of this play, I'm not a Broadway expert, but, you know, a boy and a girl are playing in the theater, and, of course, they're pretending that I love you, you love me. And then one of them says, but, you know, if you believe that I really love you, this wouldn't be make-believe. It wouldn't be a paper moon. If you believe that I love you, it's all getting real. Does that make sense? And that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. He says, if you believe in me, it all becomes real. Everything that God said is real when you believe that it's real. And the whole earth, and you and I included, until we got born again, were missing it until we believed nothing from God came to pass in our lives. I mean, everything. He reigns on the just and the unjust, but his blessings weren't really active in our lives until we believed. And so our believing changes everything. It's a phony world. It's a Barnum and Bailey world. It's just so ridiculous. But when we believe, all of a sudden, things begin to work like God wants them to work. God's plan starts happening for you and for me. Amen. So I felt the Holy Ghost give me that little song. So I said, I'll play it. And so my message today is how to move in God's power. How many people want to learn how to move in God's power? How many people never raise your hands in church? Okay, so in the Garden of Eden, what is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit of that tree, they were just living in God's blessings. And when we do things God's way, Jesus came to restore everything that Adam and Eve lost. The curse that came on Adam and Eve, Jesus broke on the cross. They were supposed to live forever, but God said, you'll die. And so the knowledge of good and evil is us deciding what is good and what is bad. When we do it God's way and we say, I'm going to do what God said is good, no problems. It's when man decides what's good and he departs from what God said what was good that we get into big problems. Oppression, depression, murder, suicide, you name it, all we learn, we hurt other people, and in the process we hurt ourselves. And it all comes from thinking that we know how to live life. And so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is simply us deciding how we're going to do it as apart from God. And how many people have been across the George Washington Bridge? You know, when they built that, they had an optional piece of equipment that they didn't need to put on the bridge, but they chose to. It's called railings. You know, those cars, they don't need the railings to go across the river. Those trucks and those cars make it just fine. How would you feel about driving across the George Washington Bridge without railings? How'd you like to be jogging or riding your bike on the sidewalk? I don't care if the sidewalk is 50 feet wide. A big gust of wind, and you think there might be a big gust of wind, like 600 feet above the river, could blow somebody off the sidewalk. I mean, so the railing is not there to limit your freedom of choice. It's not there to keep you from doing whatever you want to do. It's really there to protect people from falling off the edge of the bridge. Does that make sense? So God's commands are like the railing on a staircase. It's not there to prevent you from expressing your individuality. God's commands are not limiting us in any way. When we live according to God's plan for our life, everything is blessed. And when we, when we think about, because sometimes, you know, when I was younger, I used to think God's commands were like inhibiting my freedom. Right. And my freedom to mess up my own life, basically. How many people want to mess up their own life? Okay. So, in Revelations 22 and verse 9, John is talking to an angel, and he starts to worship the angel because the glory is so wonderful. And the angel says, don't worship me. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and those who keep the words of this book. What is the book? It's this book. It's the Bible. So the angels keep the words of this book. So here's a quiz. How many people, you like quizzes, right? So what is better than reading the Bible and believing the Bible? Now that's warm. Aha, who said that? Hey, okay. It was right in the verse. Keeping the words of this book. Right, doing it. Reading it's good, believing it's good, doing it. That's what we're going for. Hallelujah. And then I already mentioned Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. And the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. So how many people sometimes think that you are alone? We're never alone. We're always in public if we realize that we have angels all around us. So whenever I think, oh, nobody can see me, yep, all my angels are watching. Hallelujah. Can you imagine, like, you know, you ever see a football team or a soccer team or a baseball team? The captain is sitting in the front row center and everybody else on the team is around him on both sides. Well, if you had a supernatural camera, you would be in the middle and your angels would be all around you on both sides. And they are always with you. They deliver you. They protect you. They keep you out of trouble. They give you revelation. They give you prophetic words. It says right here, I'm of your brother and the prophets. So, you know, we don't worship angels. We don't ask angels for things. But they're working for us. Like if you had a servant in your house, a cook or a driver, and it was, you were a kid and it was your birthday and you wanted a bike, would you ask the guy who drives the car for a bike? Or would you ask your mom or dad? You get it? We don't ask angels for stuff. We ask our Heavenly Father. So, but we have these angels around us. So think of it. You are a posse going down the street. You have angels all around you. Hallelujah. So, we better behave. I cleaned up my act. There were a few things I would do before I realized I had angels all around me. And I said, geez, I got angels all around me. I think I'll do it the right way. Hallelujah. So I'd like to share a prophetic dream that I had. And I typed it out. And I was taking one of those courses. I met Tiffany online. We were taking a global course in physical healing. And I said, gee, you're just down the road from me. Yeah, so we got to know each other. Anyway, here's my dream. I dreamt that all these pipes were blocked. And there were many oppressors who were searching for open pipes. And when I awoke, I decided that the pipes are blocked, blocking God's message from getting through. And people were living life as if life was normal, not knowing that they were living without God's word. The oppressors were organized and evil, but we never felt threatened. They only were interested in finding the pipes, tunnels, ducts. They never accused us of anything. The pipes were not water pipes, but all kinds of pipes, ducts, wells, tunnels. The oppressors would search for and find one, and then when they were sure it was blocked, they would go and look somewhere else. And I asked myself, is this a demonic dream? But I felt peaceful. I asked God, what does it mean? I believe it means that God is trying to communicate with us, bless us, reach us, heal us, and pour out his blessings upon us. The enemy is trying to block every channel of God's blessing. People are living on earth, never realizing that God is reaching out to them all the time, everywhere, because the enemy has blinded them, veiled them, blocked the channels, and they think their life is normal. God is trying to reach you in every place, in the most unlikely places, the boss or coworker who's giving you a hard time, the situation where you're trying to buy a home or a car or pay the rent or send your kids to college or buy groceries. God is there somewhere trying to reach you. Never say there's no way. God is here. God is always here to reach you. Open all your channels. God is reaching out to you. So do you get that feeling? It's like we're walking through life and there's all kinds of open channels where God is trying to reach us. And sometimes we're not believing. We're not looking. We don't expect. And, you know, when we start to believe that God loves us and he's waiting to bless us at every possible opportunity, it starts to happen. It keeps these channels open. And the devil, The devil doesn't actually directly oppose us, because if we became aware of the opposition, we would just turn to God. He just tries to disconnect us. He just tries to keep us from hearing God's word, seeing God in action, getting healed by God, getting touched by God. He just tries to keep us in a long, dull, wasteland kind of a journey. But God is everywhere reaching out to us to help us in every way. And I typed this up and gave it to an elder in the church I attend. And he said, how can we open? And that man asked me, he said, how can we open a way for God? And so this is the key part of my message today. This is the part that relates to what Debbie shared. Let's turn to Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? So the hill of the Lord, that's where God lives. And ascending the hill of the Lord, that is like moving up in the things of God. Supernaturally, that's anointings, that's not just head knowledge, that's actual having God moving in your life. And who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And he gives 4 points here. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. So if you can tell the truth, if you can avoid worshiping idols, if you can keep your hands clean and your heart pure, you can stand before God. So, you know, this is holy living. God does not dwell with the unjust. You know, people that are unjust have problems. And one of them is God won't spend any time with them. So let us live holy. I like the term live holy because, you know, the Ten Commandments doesn't say everything. It doesn't say you're not supposed to stick your tongue out when the teacher turns her back. But something in me knows that's not holy. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. I think Jacob was the greatest intercessor in the Bible. His name is wrestled with God. And it says the way he wrestled with God in Hosea, that he held on to him with tears and strong crying. So, now here's the part about the decree. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And the Lord of hosts means the Lord of angel armies. So, have you ever seen a gate with a head? Who has a head? People. People have heads. When you lift up your head and declare the word of the Lord, you allow God to come into the earth. And he not only comes into the earth, he comes in with his army of angels to make your word come to pass, to make his word in your mouth come to pass. That is the declaration. That is the decree. Lift up your heads. You are the gate of heaven. When you declare the word of the Lord, you allow God into this earth. You know, God gave the earth to Adam and Eve. He said, subdue the earth, have dominion over it, and make it fruitful and multiply. If you give your car to your son, is it your car anymore? Can you tell your son where to drive just because you gave him the car? You try. Are you getting this? Now, if you see your enemy sitting in the back seat and your son and his wife are in the front seat and your enemy is telling your son where to go, can you do anything about it since you gave him that car? Not really. It's his car. It's his life. That's the position God found himself in because he gave you and I a free will, the freedom to do whatever we choose. He gave Adam and Eve the freedom to do whatever they choose, and the most powerful thing in your life is your freedom to choose. You can choose to do what you like. Hallelujah. That is so powerful. You can choose to bless people. You can choose to hurt people. You can choose to bless yourself. You can choose to hurt yourself. You know, you ever see the people living in the train station? They're not in jail. Somehow they are making choices that cause them to end up sleeping in the train station. Poor choices. That's all it is. Nobody has put a chain on them. They chose that kind of life. And so when you go to high school, you learn arithmetic, reading, writing, grammar, spelling, but you don't learn how to choose. You learn how to choose from God Almighty. That's what we learn in the church. We learn to love. We learn to choose love. We learn to choose the good things. And these are the choices we need to learn to make. And this is the school of love, and we are learning how to make good choices. And so when we open our mouth and declare the word of the Lord, God comes into the earth. If your son says, hey, Dad, I got a flat tire. Can you help me change the tire? Of course, you're happy to help him. So every time we ask God to come into the earth, he shows up because we asked him. That is the doorway to heaven. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to build my rock. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if you're the gate of heaven when you declare the word of the Lord, who are the gates of hell? I used to be a gate of hell. Come on. I used to propose all kinds of lewd, immoral behavior. And hey, drink this. Hey, smoke this. Go dance here. And so... These are the gates of hell, but they will not prevail against my church. So think of it this way. Suppose in your town there's demon powers and there's angel powers as well. Why don't the angels chase the demons out of the town? They're waiting for you to give the command. Hallelujah. They are waiting for you to give the command. You are the gate of heaven. You open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord, and God will bring it to pass in your life, in your town, in your city, in your nation. Thank you, Jesus. So this is what this psalm means, and it is so powerful. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies. He is the King of glory. So he shall all come into your life. And what is the condition? Only that we have clean hands and a pure heart. Don't worship idols and tell the truth. Hallelujah. It's easy for all of us to meet these conditions. Thank you, Jesus. And God is with us, and you have this posse of angels all around you. And when you declare the word of the Lord, it will bring your life and circumstances in conformity to the word that you declare. Thank you, Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer of repentance, because none of us have met the conditions. So let's just all stand and say, Lord, I come to you now. I'm sorry that I live my life my own way. I decided what was right and wrong. I decided what I could do. But Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I realize your way is the right way. Your way is the way of life. Oh, cleanse me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for helping me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to pray for people now. But first, is there anybody who says, I don't know Jesus, and I want to know Jesus myself today? So I think we're all Christians, but I figured I would ask. So I want to give this lady a prophetic word. So that's polka dots are, but that's not, so God just says that you've been blue, but you're going to be feeling much better. Whatever's been a problem in your life, God says, I'm your heavenly Father. I love you. I'll take care of you. You don't have to be blue about anything, about any person, about any situation. And everything that has ever bothered you in the past is going to clear away like clouds on a sunny day. Just, they'll just go away. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give a strange altar call. Maybe it's not strange for you guys. So I want to pray for some people, but the people I want to pray for first, let's just pray, Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come upon me right now. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Just say, Holy Ghost, fill me. Now, if you feel the Holy Ghost all over you, wave your hand. Okay, come out. Those are the people I want to pray for first. So come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name?
Maria.
Maria. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything special you want prayer for? Hallelujah. What's your name?